During the time I was writing about the Gulf oil spill in 2010, I received an anonymous email from a Hotmail account reminding me that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service had the power to rescind my permit to keep my education owl, Archimedes, if I wasn't careful. Without my permit, he could be confiscated and euthanized. Then I got a phone call from a person I very much respect at the Cornell Lab of Ornithology telling me that because some people were associating my name with the lab, someone at the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service or U.S. Geological Survey had told them to ask me to tone down my postings. I'd left my job as science editor at the lab a few days before the Deepwater Horizon explosion, and I never suggested that I was collaborating with or still associated with Cornell. The lab did not pressure me in any way to stop writing about the spill, though it sounded as if they themselves must have been pressured to call me. The Cornell Lab, along with other organizations, produces an important State of the Birds report every few years in collaboration with the USGS and Fish and Wildlife Service. And the lab, like virtually every nonprofit and educational institution that bans or otherwise tracks birds or other wildlife or conducts research on marine life, must have various federal permits that can be revoked at any time at the discretion of those agencies. These kinds of projects are a key element of many organizations and research institutions' fundamental mission, the reason for their existence. My friend Marge Gibson, director of a state-of-the-art wildlife rehabilitation center, was told outright by a Fish and Wildlife Service employee that her rehab and education permits would be revoked if she went anywhere near the Gulf. So I know that the threat was real. The Cornell Lab and other research and educational organizations would have risked virtually all their ongoing work and even their existence if they didn't abide by the 5-year moratorium suddenly imposed to delay the publication of any studies, video, photos, or observations of oiled wildlife without approval. Too much was at stake to resist publicly, but the lab and others continued to collect data that would eventually be published. Because this really was an existential threat, their silence was not cowardly, much less complicit. My mantra since college has been, to sin by silence when one should protest makes cowards of men. But cowardice can only be understood in the context of a long, slippery slope starting at courage and descending to complicity. In the ongoing war to protect birds and our environment, surviving to fight another day is a valid strategy. The American Birding Association was the one organization that showed astonishing courage during this horrible time. They supported Drew Whelan and published his accounts on the organization's blog, even in the face of attacks on his veracity and complaints from some of their own members. Fortunately, ABA wasn't facing an existential threat. It needs no federal grants, permits, or collaborations to fulfill its mission, which is simply to help people find, learn about, and enjoy birds. Had every educational institution and nonprofit organization studying birds on the Gulf joined forces to publicize or at least leak information about everything going on, it's still doubtful they could have mustered the massive public support the Obama administration would have needed to defy BP's dictates. BP had a wealth of lawyers to fight the government every inch of the way, professional scientists on their payroll who'd be willing to deny the truth, and the legal right to clean up their mess the way they wanted to. I think Cornell and the American Bird Conservancy did as much good as they possibly could. One organization went much further than simply staying mum during the moratorium. It publicly parroted BP's ridiculous claims about the oil disappearing and the spill not being so bad. And it personally attacked in a major public forum Drew Whelan, the most courageous individual speaking out about the spill's effects on birds. This organization, ironically the one whose name is most associated by the American people with bird protection and conservation, rolled straight down that slippery slope from courage and quiet resistance right past trying to survive and downright cowardice. This organization kept sliding down, down, all the way to complicity. I'll talk about them next time. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.